We move into the second half of Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, along with Derek Mason here with you. And we are pleased to be joined by Joel Corey. We're going to talk some NFL salary cap stuff as the rosters continue to be shaped for the regular season. A lot of big stories out there. And of course, the Titans have some big decisions to make down the road. Joel, good to talk to you as always.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are doing well. So, Joel, let's start with this because D-Mace and I kicked this around in the first hour of the show. Once the Deshaun Watson contract, forget about the off-season issues or off-the-field issues with Deshaun Watson, once he signed that big game-changing contract with the fully guaranteed salary, everybody knew there would be a domino effect. And right now it looks like that's at the center of the Lamar Jackson situation.
Oh, yeah, understandably so. That if I'm Lamar, I want a fully guaranteed contract like Deshaun Watson. He's quarterback in a division. He's got off-the-field issues, which are well-documented. I don't have any, is something Lamar can say. I want an MVP. He hasn't. I don't care what Kyler Murray got. I'm pointing at this one. I want a fully guaranteed contract. If you can't do a fully guaranteed contract, I might be inclined to go the franchise tag route like Kirk Cousins did a couple of years ago. I would expect the Ravens to put an exclusive franchise tag on him, which happens most of the time with quarterbacks if we get to that point. And if he plays on two tags, that's going to be basically $100 million over 2 years and he can walk.
Hmm. Wow. So what do you think the dynamic is? How tough is it for a player to negotiate his own contract, especially when we're talking about the magnitude of this particular contract?
Well, the agent serves as a buffer because when I was an agent, I didn't tell clients some of the negative things that the team said about the player. If you don't have the buffer, then the team either has to be diplomatic in what it says or it can offend the player because the player obviously has a lot of confidence and may have a higher opinion of himself than what the team does, and that may be hard to hear directly. Although we've seen some players who haven't had an agent may have had behind-the-scenes advisor do very well. DeAndre Hopkins, the new money average for his deal, averaged 27.25, made the highest-paid wide receiver. Bobby Wagner became the highest-paid off-ball linebacker in 2019 without an agent. And Laremy Tunsil reset the offensive tackle mark without an agent.
Hmm. Joel, one thing that's getting kicked around here just as a theory, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but with a team trying to massage their own salary cap and trying to create some flexibility or keep some flexibility, I don't know exactly where John Robinson feels he is along that front, his comfort level with the flexibility. But one race that's going on right now is interesting with Brett Kern, the veteran punter, who's got a cap, even though he redid his deal, he's still, 2.7 against the cap. And you've got this young rookie punter who would be the league minimum. How important in the grand scheme of things would $2 million be against the cap for a GM at the beginning of the season who might be looking at other areas on the roster that he might need to address?
It could be a concern, but I don't think you like the Rams were last year when they had Corey Borges in camp and Johnny Hecker, and they ended up getting Hecker to take a pay cut and traded the other guy to the Packers. Right now, you're sitting on about $11 million in cap space where the top 51 counts. Once everything starts counting, the first day of the regular season, Thursday, September 8th, that includes the practice squad, which will take up roughly 3.5 if you have a whole 16 players in the practice squad the whole year. You're going to lose maybe $5 million of that space. Teams like to have about $3 million to get through the season. Some will cut it razor thin and have to restructure a contract or two. And you'll see teams who are tight against the cap restructure contracts between now and the beginning of the regular season for cap purposes. But you're not in a position where you have to do that. So it could be a situation where if Kern is clearly the guy, you keep him. If it's close, maybe you go with the rookie just because you'd have a cost-contained punter for the next 3 years.
We're talking with Joe Corey. You can follow him on Twitter at Corey Joe, former agent, contract talks and sports salary caps. Now, Joe, the Titans have a, big Jeffrey Simmons is coming up pretty much. There's been just a little talk about his contract situation and him wanting a bigger contract. And he deserves it by the way he's played. Do you think it's advantageous for the Titans to get it done immediately or to wait to that last year?
Whenever you have a Pro Bowl caliber player or a very good to great player, the sooner you get it done, the cheaper it's going to be for the team. Now, that being said, Simmons is a first-round pick. First-round picks ordinarily do not get contracts after 3 years because you have a fifth-year option. This year, only one player in his draft class that was a first-round pick has signed an extension. That's Kyler Murray. On average, it's three. Some years it's zero. The 2014 draft class, which was phenomenal, Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, Zach Martin, nobody got an extension after 3 years. You guys with Taylor Lewan did not give an extension until his contract year, so I wouldn't expect it, and it's not really the norm. So Jeffrey Simmons, I always thought would play out the fourth year.
Now, with that being said, with Jeffrey, what do you think the ballpark is for him? Are you comparing, are you starting the number somewhere around what Aaron Donald got, or are you going a little bit lower or a little bit higher?
Well, you couldn't. No one was getting to Aaron Donald's 22.5 before he had his deal redone this spring. So you're not getting $31 million per year. What Aaron Donald's going to do is raise the boat or raise the level for everybody else under the theory of rising tide lifts all boats. So it's no longer a ceiling at 22.5 for interior defensive linemen. So it's going to be north of that. If I'm Jeffrey Simmons, I'm going north of 25, particularly if I play like I did pretty consistently, as in the playoff game against the Bengals. But he's not going to get – I can't see $30 million per year for an interior defensive lineman. You don't have anybody above 30 besides Aaron Donald. And I'm not counting Tyreek Hill at on paper as 30. It's 120 over 4, but there's 45 in the last year. So that's really $25 million per year on the extension to me. The next guy to hit the $30 million per year mark as a non-quarterback next year will be Nick Bosa with the 49ers.
Okay. Now, do you think this because we've seen over the last 2 years, really after COVID, that these contracts have started to skyrocket, and if I think back long enough, I probably could pinpoint the one guy, and then it kind of accelerated from there. But do you think this thing starts to level off? Because you look at Deshaun Watson's contract, fully guaranteed, and I know that's sort of a an anomaly is sort of to the side, but it doesn't seem like these contracts are going to slow down no time soon.
No, they're not. You're going to see the cap start to really grow in a significant manner. First, we have to pay back the money, which kept the cap from precipitously dropping because of COVID. Next year, you won't see huge growth. Maybe the cap's 225. It could get to 230, but somewhere in that range. But it should start taking off after that because that's when the new TV money will start kicking in. So you're going to see more quarterbacks than Aaron Rodgers at the $50 million mark. The guy I'm really curious to see what happens with is Russell Wilson. You've got the richest owner in NFL history who just bought the Broncos and Rob Walton from the Walmart family. He's got an estimated net worth of $60 billion. So he could afford to do a fully guaranteed contract for Russell Wilson. He's got a ton of leverage from the standpoint they gave up a boatload of picks and players to get him. So if he wants to exploit his leverage, then Russell Wilson may be the guy to get a fully guaranteed contract and become the highest paid player at the same time if Lamar Jackson doesn't get it. And then you got the two quarterbacks on rookie contracts from the 2020 draft class who will be eligible for extensions after the season, Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. and I'm curious to see where they take it, Burrow in particular, because he's already taken the Bengals to the Super Bowl.
Joel, how much of a big factor is that, an owner that has extremely deep pockets? How much of an advantage is that for those teams?
Yeah, well, the two budgets that teams have, there's the salary cap and there's the cash budget. So if you have deep pockets, then you're not a mom-and-pop operation like some teams. The Bengals, who, interestingly, just sold naming rights to the stadium, which will be, I think, to cover a Burrow contract. You got more
flexibility. Yeah. And would you say the Titans are more or less, I mean, that's their background, right? It's a family operation.
Yeah, so if you don't have a guy in that position, but for a fully guaranteed contract, it would make a difference because you have to stick the guarantees in future years, the bulk of them, into escrow. So if you are like the Bidwells in Arizona, Kyler Murray was never getting a fully guaranteed contract because they couldn't stick all that money in escrow. So Denver can. The question is, does the owner want to do that? But, it makes a difference from a cash budget standpoint more than anything else.
Joel, before we let you go, tell us about your podcast. I know we've had you on over the years, but you're starting down this road, Inside the Cap with Joel Corey.
Yeah, it's a podcast which takes a deep dive into salary cap and contract matters. So depending upon what issues are topical, I'll discuss them and try to go in a little bit detail and look at things first through my background being an agent, but also try to get the perspective of the other side of what I think a team would be looking for as well.
Great stuff. Joel, thanks a lot for the insight. As always, we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Joel Corey at Corey Joel on Twitter, and you can find his podcast there, Inside the Cap with Joel Corey. Interesting thing.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about when we come back Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. There was an interesting article that came out about the value of their franchise, and we're going to build on what he just said at the end there about when you have the deep pockets, something that Chris Mortensen clued us in on this past offseason too, what factor that's becoming, if any, on how salaries get done, and is it an advantage for certain teams? Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game.